I'll give you the title of my sermon afterwards, because if I do, it's going to give it away. So is Purim 2021 and the times we are living in now really any different than the times of Mordecai and Esther? Other than the time being centered around the monarchy of King Ahasuerus, rather than a government structured as a representative republic? Not really. People have not changed since Adonai breathed the breath of life into Adam, formed Hava from one of Adam's ribs. The fall and thus the expulsion from the garden due to the adversary's deceiving tactics. Our lifestyle, that is the standard by which we live, has most certainly changed, yet our character traits still remain the same. One aspect that we see today and has a term has been witnessed and attempted in the past. The term that I am referring to is cancel culture. Dr. Upal, I'm probably going to butcher this, Holakia, provides the following from an article published in July 2020. At the height of the summer of social unrest, where rioting was a nightly occurrence in several cities. He starts with a question: what is canceling? Canceling is an individual's volitional act of publicly rejecting and actively pursuing harm against a perceived transgressor. There are two parties in every canceling episode: the person who cancels, otherwise known as the canceler, and the entity, the person, the group, organization that is canceled. Canceling requires the canceler to engage in three psychological processes. So this is his article, and basically I'm providing you with a foundation. What are the three? The first is to identify or become aware of a transgression and judge it to be significant. The second, to experience strong negative emotions. And the third act of canceling, to act punitively and visibly to harm the transgressor. And then he goes on to write, canceling begins with a real or perceived transgression. It can be real, meaning that it impacts everyone, or it can be perceived. You don't need facts to cancel someone today. That's perceived. So it can be either real or perceived. A real or perceived transgression by the canceled entity that the canceler observes or is made aware of and deems to be serious. So we're talking, it can either be eyewitness testimony or account, or hearsay. Doesn't matter. The transgression can be about anything, such as the violation of a strongly held political value, effusively praising a loathed politician, or a social justice value, tweeting in support of something that some people may not agree with, that the canceler deems to be significant. The smallest things have been made significant these days. He goes on to write, a strongly held value in a different domain, like animal welfare, also qualifies as a transgression, like serving lion meat or swan meat in one's restaurant. Now, keeping in mind, we don't think in this manner, but he's giving examples of how subtle it can be or how demonstrable it can be. So this is how one doctor of psychology defines the action of canceling. So let me ask you this. Do the three points used to identify canceling, as identified by Dr. Holakia, fit the Purim narrative? Let's see. We read in Esther chapter 3, starting in verse 2. All the king's servants at the king's gate would kneel and bow down before Haman, because the king... because the king had so ordered, but Mordecai would neither kneel nor bow down to him. The king's servants at the king's gate asked Mordecai, why don't you obey the king's order? But after they had confronted him a number of times without his paying attention to them, they told Haman, in order to find out whether Mordecai's explanation that he was a Jew would suffice to justify his behavior. Haman was furious when he saw that Mordecai was not kneeling and bowing down to him. However, on learning what people Mordecai belonged to, it seemed to him a waste to lay hands on Mordecai alone. Rather, he decided to destroy all of Mordecai's people, the Jews, throughout the whole of Ahasuerus' kingdom. These are the foundational verses that I'm using. But keeping in mind, we're going to go on from there. So now let's evaluate this passage of Scripture to Dr. Halakia and his three points of canceling. The first is to identify or become aware of a transgression and judge it to be significant. So what was the transgression here? Mordecai was not kneeling and bowing down before Haman, just as every other servant was ordered to do. Was there a strong negative emotion? What was the negative emotion? Haman was furious that Mordecai would not bow down to him. The third, to act punitively and visibly to harm the transgressor. What was Haman's response? Rather than just addressing his anger towards Mordecai, he would act against the people of Mordecai as well. Haman was so furious with Mordecai that, to use today's term, would cancel all the Jewish people in addition to Mordecai. If you are keeping score, this passage of Esther recounting the origins of Purim checks the boxes on all three points. It all begins with a real or perceived transgression. It was a real issue from Haman's perspective. Haman was only one person, yet he was a person in a powerful position. He had the king's ear. We read in Esther chapter 3, starting in verse 8, "Then Haman said to Ahasuerus, 'There is a particular people scattered and dispersed among the peoples in all the provinces of your kingdom. Their laws are different from those of every other people. Moreover, they don't observe the king's laws. It doesn't befit the king to tolerate them. If it please the king, have a decree written for their destruction, and I will hand over 330 tons of silver to the officials in charge of the king's affairs to deposit in the royal treasury.'" Money has influence. We saw that this past year. The king took his signet ring from his hand and gave it to Haman, the son of Hamdada, the Agai, the enemy of the Jews. So Haman came by it honestly. The Agais were enemies of the Jewish people. So one might say, might be his inheritance, might be a generational thing. A people who were part of his kingdom now become an enemy of the kingdom because of one man who was offended by the action of one man. Haman would convince the king of the perceived threat of a disloyal subject, and thus an entire people who follow the same practices would be deemed disloyal also. All through the words of one man did this occur. Let me share with you another definition. Cancel culture is a modern form of ostracism in which someone is thrust out of social or professional circles. whether it is online, on social media, or in person. Keeping in mind, online and social media didn't exist at the time of Haman. Those who are subject to this ostracism are said to be canceled. Merriam-Webster writes this, that cancel as used in this context means to stop giving support to that person. So when it's talked about being canceled, people are looking to not just silence you, but separate you from everything. Separate you from that which you have the rights to. The cancel culture machine was set in motion, and its aim is set on a single target, the Jewish people. The vast apparatus of the king has been mobilized to withdraw any support, with the ultimate and final outcome, eradication. The wheels would be greased, whereby funds were appropriated to fund the single mandate. People would be given orders as part of this single initiative, and thus the cancel culture machine was primed and ready to roll. As we read in Esther chapter 3, starting in verse 11, the king said to Haman, "The money is given to you, and the people too, to do with as seems good to you." The king's secretaries were summoned on the 13th day of the first month. They wrote down all Haman's orders. To the king's army commanders and governors in all the provinces, and to the officials of every people, to each province in its own script, and to each people in their own language. Everything was written in the name of King Ahasuerus and sealed with the king's signet ring. Verse 13, letters were sent by courier to all the royal provinces to destroy, kill, and exterminate all Jews from young to old, including small children and women, on a specific day, the 13th day of the 12th month, the month of Adar, and to seize their goods as plunder. Not only was it sufficient to eradicate them, but they were going to compensate themselves with all of their possessions. A copy of the document, verse 14, to be issued as a decree in every province was to be publicly proclaimed to all the peoples so that they would be ready for that day. All was in place and ready to go. Yet the ones who were identified to be canceled did not accept their fate as was written. They did not fight in the way you would expect, but they prayed and fasted, seeking guidance and direction as how best to proceed. It would appear that the people who were about to be canceled had a plant, a mole, within the power structure of the canceller. We read in Esther chapter 2, starting in verse 3. The king should appoint officials in all the provinces of the kingdom to gather all the young, good-looking virgins to the house for the harem in Shushan, the capital. They should be put under the care of Haggai, the king's officer in charge of the woman, and he should give them the cosmetics they require. Then the girl who seems best to the king should become queen instead of Vashti. This proposal pleased the king, so he acted accordingly. There was in Shushan, the capital, a man who was a Jew, whose name was Mordecai, the son of Yair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite. So he was not a Levite, he was of the tribe of Benjamin. Verse 7. He had raised Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, because she had neither father nor mother. The girl was shapely and good-looking after her father's and mother's death. Mordecai had adopted her as his own daughter. When the king's order and decree were proclaimed, and many girls assembled in Shushan, the capital, under the care of Haggai, Esther, too, was taken into the king's house and put under the care of Haggai, who was in charge of the women. The girl pleased him and won his favor, so that he lost no time in giving her her cosmetics, her portions of special food, and 7 girls from the king's palace to attend her. He also promoted her and the girls attending her to the best place in the harem's quarter. Esther did not disclose her people or family ties because Mordecai had instructed her not to tell anyone. So notice the order by which this occurred. Hadassah was chosen before anything had even transpired between Haman and Mordecai. Thus, Mordecai did not plan to have Hadassah infiltrate the king's ranks because she was already there. The plan was to utilize Esther's position and garner influence from the king. Esther was not a spy at first, but in accepting Mordecai's request became a spy for her people. Just as one man had set the ball rolling on canceling the Jewish people, one woman was tasked in derailing the ball and thus canceling the canceled. In math, 2 negatives make a positive. Thus, to cancel the actions intended to cancel the targeted is positive. After 3 days of fasting, we read, Esther had them return this answer to Mordecai. Go assemble all the Jews to be found in Shushan and have them fast for me, neither eating nor drinking for 3 days, night or day. Also, I and the girls attending me will fast the same way. Then I will go in to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. Then Mordecai went his way and did everything Esther had ordered him to do. So even though it is not stated here, I believe with this time of fasting, there was praying as well. A devout man such as Mordecai was likely a man of prayer also. Remember, Adonai's name is not mentioned once in the Megillah of Esther, yet his fingerprints are all over the events that transpired. Why wouldn't the prayers of his people be there as well? The plan was to reveal Haman's intentions to the king by way of a banquet. Thus we read in Esther chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, So the king and Haman came to the banquet Esther had prepared. At the banquet of wine, the king again said to Esther, whatever you request, you will be granted it. Whatever you want, up to half the kingdom, it will be done. Then Esther answered my request, what I want is this, if I have won the king's favor, if it pleases the king to grant my request and do what I want, let the king and Haman come to a banquet which I will prepare for them, and tomorrow I will do as the king has said. Thus, it would be at this banquet whereby Esther would reveal the plans against her people by revealing who her people are through identifying who the enemy is. So bear with me here. In Esther chapter 7, starting in verse 1, so the king and Haman went to Queen Esther's banquet. And the king again said to Esther at the wine banquet, whatever you request, Queen Esther, you will be granted it. Whatever you want, up to half the kingdom, it will be done. Esther the queen answered, if I have won your favor, king, and if it pleases the king, then what I ask be given me is my own life and the lives of my people. For we have been sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, killed, exterminated. if we had only been sold as men and women slaves. I would have remained quiet. Since then, our trouble would not have been worth the damage it would have caused the king. King Ahasuerus asked Esther the queen, "Who is he? Where is the man who dared to do such a thing?" Esther said, "A ruthless enemy. It's this wicked Haman." Haman stood aghast, terrified before the king and the queen. So it would be through her placement in advance of her actions, as directed through prayer and fasting, that led to the canceling of being canceled. So where are the Esther and Mordecai of today? There is no limit to canceling today. You've likely heard of these. Mr. and Mr. Potato Head have lost their identities and are now Potato Head. Disney has added disclaimers to the Muppet Show regarding offensive material. This is something I grew up with and watched. Then, reading this morning, Dr. Seuss is even being canceled. Here is an excerpt from one of the news articles. Celebrated American children's author Dr. Seuss is now considered too controversial for one of Virginia's largest school districts, a news report reveals. For over two decades, Dr. Seuss has been celebrated in schools as Read Across America Day, a day dedicated to the importance of reading and literacy. The day falls on Dr. Seuss's birthday in honor of the impactful author whose books have helped countless children learn to read across the globe. But following pressure from activists, Loudoun County Public Schools is reportedly dropping the annual Dr. Seuss celebration. Realizing that many schools continue to celebrate Read Across America Day in partial recognition to Dr. Seuss's birthday, it is important for us to be cognizant of research that may challenge our practice in this regard. Loudoun and Country Schools said in an announcement reported by the Daily Wire. That was a statement published by the school district in Virginia as to why they cannot continue to honor Dr. Seuss. And they go on, as we become more culturally responsive and racially conscious, all building leaders should know that in recent years, there has been research revealing radical undertones in the books written and the illustrations drawn by Dr. Seuss. I haven't yet read what this stuff is that is so offensive, keeping in mind the Cat in the Hat is not, how want to put it, is not racially distinct. He's both black and white. So canceling is not new. And by the way, we will always honor Dr. Seuss at this congregation. Just as we honor Kate Smith as well. Amen. For those of you who don't remember Kate Smith, because she sang some various songs in the 30s and 40s, because they were not politically correct by today's standards, they removed her God Bless America recording from various places where it was broadcast. So canceling is not new. Ask the Jewish people about being canceled. It has followed them wherever we have gone. Kicked out of one country, residing in another, canceling would ensue. We see this today in China with the Uyghur Muslims and the Christians. We see this in other cultures. Canceling is not new. Not associated with one nation, one people, or one religion. It is a generational curse, not of the inflicted, but of the ones who impose such heinous treatment towards a people. simply because of who they are, what they believe, or what they may do. So this is a curse, not upon those who are being canceled, but it's a curse because of the infliction that is being performed. We are not cursed, but the curse of the cancel culture crowd is the hatred that has consumed them, and thus through their actions have not the love of Adonai within them. Consider 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 15. If someone acknowledges that Yeshua is the Son of God, God remains united with him and he with God. Also, we have come to know and trust the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who remain in this love remain united with God, and God remains united with them. Here is how love has been brought to maturity with us. As the Messiah is, so are we in the world. This gives us confidence for the day of judgment. There is no fear in love. On the contrary, love that has achieved its goal gets rid of fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The person who keeps fearing has not been brought to maturity in regard to love. We ourselves love now because he loved us first. If anyone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For if a person does not love his brother whom he has seen, then he cannot love God whom he has not seen. Yes, this is the command we have from him. Whoever loves God must love his brother too. Meaning, you can't say you love God and promote the canceling of a people, an ideology, or anything. This will only end when we cancel the canceling through prayer and fasting, and thus is directed by the wisdom of Adonai, through the power of the Ruach HaKodesh, and in the authority of Yeshua. We can be raised up like Esther. We can be raised up like Mordecai. We sang a song today, "Hineni, here am I, who will go?" It's a question that I ask now. It's a question I ask within this congregation. Because if we don't stand, who will stand for us? We can't take that chance. And I'm not talking, well, we have to get our pitchforks and our guns and we have to steamroll the Capitol. It's not what I'm talking about. It's not what Mordecai did. It's not what Esther did. We have to be strategic. We have to be methodical. We have to be perseverant. We have to persevere in all that we do. Keeping in mind, and let me close with these verses, Matthew chapter 19, verse 23. Then Yeshua said to his Talmidim, "Yes, I tell you that it will be very hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Furthermore, I tell you that it is easier for a camel to pass through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When the Talmidim heard this, they were utterly amazed. Then who, they asked, can be saved? Yeshua looked at them and said, "Humanly, this is impossible, but with God, everything is possible." So I want you to keep this in mind. We will likely be on the wrong end of canceling, for the simple reason, I might talk about this more next week. I shared this with you over a year ago. I think it's almost 2 years now. A resolution in the House of Representatives known as H.R. 5 was passed again. The challenge is going to be the Senate. But H.R. 5 is going to address, it's known as the Equality Act, but offers anything but equality. It's looking to undermine religious liberty. The majority of people in the room are women. It's going to undermine your rights as a woman as well. To the point that ultimately we're talking about canceling identity. If it can happen to Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head, nobody is safe. I say this in jest, but I am 100% serious. That this is going to be a challenge that, however it manifests itself within the congregation or the congregation becomes affected, you will be tested. Cancel culture is nothing new. I shared with you that this is exactly what Haman wanted to do. And we're not just talking canceling by making you silent. We're talking about the final cancel, full removal, full eradication, just off the face of the earth. So I want you to keep this in mind, because Purim is one of those transitional Moedim. Without Purim, we never would have gotten to Passover. Had God not intervened during Purim, Yeshua would never have appeared. Before Passover, there was Purim. So let us be mindful of what's going on around us. Let us be constantly in prayer, and let us not be afraid. So if everybody will please rise.